from KQED.
Good morning. This is the California Report. I'm Paul Landcor, in for Rachel Miro. California is leading the nation's economic recovery, but the growth isn't distributed evenly across the state. That's from the UCLA Anderson Forecast quarterly report released yesterday. It says areas with jobs in the high-tech and biotech sectors, much of Los Angeles, the Bay Area, Orange County, and San Diego, show robust employment growth, but the Central Valley and Inland Empire continue to struggle. Meanwhile, California's once battered housing market continues to show signs of improvement. That's according to a new report from a leading real estate tracking firm. The California Report's LA Bureau Chief Stephen Cuevas has details.
The report from Orange County-based Realty Track shows the number of California properties in some stage of foreclosure down a whopping 62% over last year. But don't get too excited.
There's still a lot of underlying distress.
Realty Track's Darren Bloomquist says while there is overall improvement across the state, many parts of inland California, like Fresno, Stockton, and the Riverside-San Bernardino metro area, continue to experience the occasional surge of new foreclosures.
Many of the inland markets tend to have higher unemployment rates that make it more difficult for the foreclosure numbers to come down as quickly.
Bloomquist says pockets of California will continue to see the occasional spasm of foreclosure activity as lenders continue to clear out a backlog of delayed repossessions. For the California Report, I'm Stephen Cuevas in Los Angeles.
A flurry of bills continues to float toward Governor Brown as the state legislature looks to complete business before a recess tomorrow. Among bills being pushed through is one that would raise the state's minimum wage from $8 to $10. Democrats are poised to pass the legislation, and Brown has vowed to sign it. He's also expected to sign into law the state's first regulations on fracking. And also on the governor's desk is the Trust Act, which restricts local police from detaining undocumented immigrants on behalf of federal immigration authorities. Brown vetoed the Trust Act last year, calling it fatally flawed. He hasn't said whether he'll sign this year's version. Immigration and border security are perennial issues in California, and some defense contractors and technology companies are looking at the southwest U.S. border as a new opportunity. At the moment, immigration reform seems to be on the back burner in Congress, but if it eventually passes, it will likely include billions of dollars for security and border technology. Jude Joffe Block of the public radio collaboration Fronteras Desk reports.
Imagine this scenario. An intruder hops a fence and starts to walk in a forbidden zone. Instantly, a camera senses his movement, spins around to record him, and detects he's a human, not wildlife. An alarm like that would alert agents back at a command center. They would get video of the intruder and his geographic coordinates. As it turns out, a Phoenix-based company, PureTech Systems, makes software that does exactly this. Larry Bowe is the company president.
You'll notice that as this target moves, this person, the camera is panning, tilting, and zooming simultaneously to keep him in the center of the image.
Bowe's software isn't being used at the border, but he is keeping a close eye on potential new opportunities there. So are other companies, mostly huge defense contractors, but also small niche companies. Some make products you never would think of.
We'll call it a pee bag or a poo bag.
Paul Chiba works for an Escondido-based company called Brief Relief. They make sanitary baggies with chemicals inside to neutralize odors and prevent the spread of bacteria. One of their main customers has been the military. But Chiba says if there are more Border Patrol agents on the ground in the southwest border region,
after a while, they're all going to have to use the restroom at some point or another, and our products are perfect for that.
Major military contractors are vying right now for current border equipment contracts, and immigration reform negotiations in Washington are driving industry hopes for even more border spending in the future. The Senate's immigration bill would add an additional $46 billion for border enforcement. At a recent town hall, Arizona Senator Jeff Flake explained the bill's drafters went to the heads of each border sector and asked,
"What new technology do you need? What manpower? What infrastructure?" And they gave us a punch list. Here's what we need to achieve 90% effectiveness. And that is in the legislation.
The list in the Senate bill names over 25 categories of technology and the exact number of units to be purchased. For example, the San Diego sector would get precisely 393 ground sensors and 41 remote video surveillance systems, among other items. The bill also calls for four new drones for use along the border. One businessman who has high hopes of such a tech-heavy bill passing is Lori Payne. He works in the Burbank, California office of Graba Inc., which is a subsidiary of an Australian company.
If the funding for extra border security gets passed, we can expect orders in the range of several million dollars to be placed with us. That's our expectation.
Graba makes a gadget that lets law enforcement use smartphones or tablets to check IDs, passports, and fingerprints. It's already being used by some Border Patrol agents.
They can go into a vehicle such as a bus, for example, and check all the passengers on the bus without the passengers having to leave the bus.
If the federal government ups its order, and there's no guarantee they will, Payne claims his company will start manufacturing the devices here in the U.S., which could create domestic jobs. And a border security boost would come at a good time for companies that depend on high levels of defense spending. Thad Bingle is a Washington-based security consultant who previously was chief of staff at Customs and Border Protection.
Many of the companies who, in the last decade, relied on that spending and who developed great new technologies for application overseas in Iraq or Afghanistan, they are looking for a customer to replace that.
But not everyone wants to see more military equipment at the border.
We don't want the California border to become a war zone.
Pedro Rios directs the San Diego office of the American Friends Service Committee.
What I'm worried about is that border residents will no longer be able to do the things they do on a daily basis without fearing that they might be under surveillance by military technology or that what they do on a daily basis will be questioned by government agents that are using military technology.
Some members of Congress share those concerns and are reluctant to spend billions more on border enforcement. But up until this point, it's been seen as a necessary part of any kind of immigration reform compromise. For the California Report, I'm Jude Joffe Block in Phoenix.
Tomorrow, we'll take a look at a cautionary tale in government contracting and how that's changing border security spending today. These stories come to us from the Fronteras Desk, a public media collaboration in the Southwest focused on the border and changing demographics. That's the California Report for Thursday, September 12th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Paul Lancour. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org. URS, a global engineering and construction firm working to improve California's public infrastructure, preserve the state's natural resources, and strengthen the environment. URS.com. And the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995.